This meeting is being recorded.
We are the Ohio Writers Guild, and this is our little mastermind workshop that we meet up on Mondays. And we go through a series of questions and answers about writing and getting published. And so I'm going to start by introducing myself. I'm Kathy Benner, passive income coach, which all of you guys on here know me. And Ruth and I, we were on this morning for a while on our Clubhouse call, and we talked about our deepest why and how we evolve over time into the person that we want to become. And so I shared with her this morning, and I'll share with this group as well, that I'm going through a little bit of a re-evaluation because I'm discovering that my definition of passive income coach is good, but I actually have become more of a mentor than a coach. Now, I like the coaching piece, and I have about 10 coaching clients that kind of hang in there with me on an ongoing basis. And I've had a couple that have moved on, but then a couple more jumped in. I just had one sign up today for some coaching, and I enjoy the coaching, but I really, really, really enjoy the mentoring. And so that's kind of the framework that I'm going to kind of put around myself as I go into the new year. And I'm going to move our free calls over in front of or on top of our mastermind calls. And that way, some of the new folks can visit our actual mastermind after the free meetup. And so the free meetup will be a little more structured. We'll go through the material on whatever the topic of the day is, and then we'll kind of segue in the middle of that time frame into our mastermind, and it'll save all of us a little bit of time. It's all going to be on a Monday, so for me, my Fridays get crazy with guests. And for some reason, through COVID, on one hand, I got comfortable not having as many guests, but on the other hand, it's kind of exciting to see a lot of that coming back, but it is coming back in full force. And I oftentimes have a house full of people standing around waiting for me when I'm on that Friday morning call. So it's one of those situations where I've decided to kind of move it together. I think it's going to be good for the new folks that are tuning in. And I think it's going to be good for us because some of those new folks have questions that maybe we hadn't thought of. And it always kind of makes me stretch a little bit when I have some new folks on the call with what their questions are. It makes me think about, oh, I hadn't thought about that before, or I hadn't covered that before. I remember in my Happy House Hunters group, a new person asked me about syndications. And I said, I'll get back to you on that. So I had to go teach myself about syndications before I could share it with the group. So that's good. It stretches me as well, and I like that. It actually forces me to continue to learn more and more and more about our subject matter. So today we are talking, of course, about writing, and I want to introduce Sandy. And of course, you gals on the call know Sandy, but as I record this, if somebody listens to the recording later, they might not. So I'm going to let Sandy mention who she is and about her writer's workshop, because that is an important message. Sandy, over to you.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you here. And now it's okay. Good afternoon. I do write for a living. I used to be a high school English teacher. So the mechanics of writing is very, very easy for me. But it's all about how do you deliver the right story to your story and make it picked up and wanted by strangers, by readers out there. As things evolve, as they do, I've done leadership in a lot of different roles, from a teacher union to a negotiator for the teacher's contract, to organizing students and taking them to the opera, to then doing my own. I run the Zoom account for my writers group that I meet once a month. So when the opportunity came along to put a writer's workshop in Yellow Springs, I just went with it. It seemed natural thing to do. The town is unusual. Please, if you've never heard of Yellow Springs or just kind of heard of Yellow Springs, look up Yellow Springs, Ohio. It's kind of its own Brigadoon, except it appears all the time when you drive into it and interplay with the interact with the people there. A lot of writers, a lot of famous people live there as well. Well, My writer's workshop is structured. There's a minimum of three featured guests for a whole weekend, and we're all in the same space. So the challenge, but the exploration and the end result is amazing, is when these featured guests can intermesh. And when one is giving a presentation, there's always an opportunity for the other one to maybe add something from their perspective. And I ask that those featured guests, mostly authors and writer experts, I'm asking that they stick around. So if you hadn't thought of your question or are too shy to ask your question in front of everybody, there will be that break, or we all eat lunch together as part of the fee, eat lunch together in the banquet hall of the Mills Park Hotel. And you, that might be the time that you'll ask. I want as much of an opportunity for a writer, potential or multi-published, to find what they're looking for and seek answers, whether it's something they'll see or listen to, or a one-on-one or a small group conversation. This coming August, I'm usually the first weekend in August, so August 2nd and 4th of 2024, I have set up so far a writer from Columbus, Ohio, who's well known for his private investigator series featuring Andy Hayes, a kind of disgraced, because most of the private eyes do have flaws, as good characters should, disgraced quarterback athlete for Ohio State and Cleveland Browns. And if you live in Ohio, you're probably an Ohio State fan. It almost seems like it comes with the birth certificate. I'm not sure. So he's very popular with that series. And he does some standalone suspense, and he's done nonfiction because he's a journalist, as he's a professional journalist. So he's coming by talking about not only just how to write mystery, and that's probably too simplistic, but how to write mystery, but also to talk to anybody else who may be coming that may not be strictly a mystery writer. In addition, I have the Ohio audiobook narrators. If you want to narrate your own writing in a book or any other kind of form, in short story, poetry, whatever, how do you do that? What kind of skills or equipment do you need to do that on your own? Well, the Ohio audiobook narrators will tell you. These are the specifics to make a good audio recording at home. Now, chances are you may end up in the closet of your house because you've got to worry about sound bouncing everywhere. And, or if you'd rather they do it for you. And from what I understand, because I'm going to book them for a couple of hours, that what they'd like to do is take about everybody, depending on how many people are there in their time, take about 2 or 3 minutes of a person's writing and show how they would narrate it. So it's very interactive. It's casual, but professional. It's hopefully putting at ease those who are stressed coming to their first writing workshop for the first time, and those who are welcoming back old friends. Other things are happening at that workshop. I'm working on them now because I'd like to open up my website and get it rolling by November, and offer some, like, you know, early registration discount deals and all that kind of stuff. So thank you, Kathy, for asking. That's where I come from. Pleased to be here. Yes,
I love it. And Sandy, I will put in the replay. I'll actually type the link on how folks can get in touch with you to your email, sandy@intothespringswritersworkshop.com. But just know that here soon, the actual website, intothespringswritersworkshop.com, will be active again with the latest information coming up for the 2024 Writers Workshop. So put it on your calendars. It's also one of our tribe trips that we're promoting within the Kathy Benner International Academy for anybody that's interested in writing to join us there. And so put that on your calendar if you'd like. And it's just far enough away from my guest house that I can't offer for you a place to stay and then attend a workshop. It's a little too far of a drive because Mark and I actually get a room over at Yellow Springs. So, but anyway, so join us. So add that to your calendar. Sherry, I see that you're on, and Ruth is on. Ruth and I, we've already chatted on on our Clubhouse call this morning, and we talked about our why. And what I know about this group is that all four of us have been published, but some folks that are listening may not have been. And we also have different reasons for our publication. Now, like Sandy, she writes as a professional writer, but for me, I write because I wanted to point back to my academy. And I know, Sherry, your book, you've created a business around your book. Your book came first, and then you created the business around it. And Ruth has also written her book and then has created a business around her book as well. And so today, what we're going to talk about, and let me find my share screen here. What we're going to talk about today, when you go to the homepage of the Academy and click on more and come to the writers. I always have to move the little bar around there. And then go to the course. And again, we have to keep our own why in mind. And that's the one thing that Ruth and I had a conversation today on is what is our deepest why? But in the course, we go through choosing your publishing route, editing, getting feedback, titling your manuscript, formatting your book for publication, designing that book cover, writing a publisher-ready book description, creating the launch plan, then publishing your book to some online retailers if you choose to go that route, and then the six most effective book marketing strategies. And then here are some ways that you can create and monetize writing from anywhere in the world. Because again, I'm all about the passive income. I want to be able, and Sandy and I had a conversation right before I started recording about meeting up in person and whether I do that with some groups when I'm in Florida, when I'm traveling versus doing things online. And I love the online presence because it allows me to write from anywhere in the world and it allows me to monetize what I'm writing from anywhere in the world. And one of the ways to do that, and it's what I want to talk about today, is this freelance writing. Now, when you're doing freelance writing, I think you have to decide, let me see here if I can get to the right screen. When you're doing the freelance writing, I think you have to decide, here we go. What is your why? Why are you being a freelance writer? Are you trying to draw attention to you as a writer so that folks get to know you as a writer? Or are you trying to send folks over to maybe a business that you have? Or are you writing for a fee? As a professional, you can be a professional freelance writer and just write for a fee and get paid for your writing. So you have to think at the very beginning, and you can do more than one. You don't have to just pick one and say, this is who I am and I have to always write like this. You can try different avenues of freelance writing, but there is a fun side of freelance writing. And so we want to talk, first of all, about the freelance, the fun side of it. You can write from anywhere. I love that. It gives you total independence. You're not bound by a 9-to-5 job. And that's one of the things that Ruth and I talked about this morning. By freelance writing, you can leave the stress of bosses and colleagues and all of that. Because again, you can be a freelance writer. For any of us that have needed somebody to write something early on, I don't know how many have used Fiverr. I don't know. Has anybody used the Fiverr? Yes, Sherry has. Sherry, did you have somebody write something for you or probably create something maybe for some of your writing? You're on mute. I hit your mute button early on when you were chatting there.
I had to find Zoom again. It was got covered up and I got lost.
I know. That happens to me too. How did you use Fiverr? Because Fiverr
I use Fiverr. I still use Fiverr. I actually have them help me with podcast. Also had them help me with cover design.
Okay.
Not so much the writing itself, but I use ChatGPT to help me with writing these days.
That works as well. But as a freelance writer, you could put yourself out on something like Fiverr if you're wanting to get started to get paid and you don't have an audience yet. You can put yourself out there and you can write for a fee and folks will gladly pay you to write for them. I have a girlfriend who actually she's in my Happy House Hunters group, but she also is a writer and she is doing newsletters and blog posts for companies. And they are actually paying her to do their monthly newsletter and to do their weekly blog post. And she actually gets paid to write that. And Sherry, she is using some of the chat. Although I don't think she was using ChatGPT. There was a different one before that one became really popular. Okay. But there was another artificial intelligence type program that she was using early on. And she said it just gave her a great template for whatever she needed to write about. And then she could take it over from there and fill it all in and finish and complete the job. And so she is getting paid as a freelance writer and it gives her total independence. She runs a massage therapy company of all things. Wow. And her freelance writing is just a little side gig that she does because she loves it. And now she's getting paid to do it. So it does give you that independence and it gives you the freedom. It's probably one of the best advantages of being a freelance writer is that you can work from anywhere in the world. You can set your own hours. If you're a morning person, you can write in the mornings. If you're a night owl, you can write at night. It's up to you, which makes it kind of nice. You don't have to punch that time clock, which is, you know, I don't know. I just punched the time clock for so many years that I now have an allergy to time clocks now. They make me itch.
I like that analogy.
And so anytime that I have to stick, now again, don't get me wrong. I can show up on time with the best of them. I get it. But I don't want a steady diet of that where my day after day, after week, after month is me sticking to a particular time. And so that's, again, I love the freedom of being a freelance writer. And of course, the benefits to your mental health, because you get that whole work-life balance thing going. You can write a little and, you know, have fun. And hang out with your friends and whatever works for you. Now, income, once you've made a name for yourself as a freelance writer and things are going well, you can often earn significantly more than a regular employee. And again, if you're like my girlfriend who is doing this as a side gig, she said she makes quite a bit because when she has that quiet time to write, she cranks out a lot of different newsletters and blog posts, and she can crank out several all at one time. And so now she said she really doesn't have to put that much time in, but she can charge for each one of those articles. And so she said her income is way up with the amount of time versus the amount of time that she has invested in it. Now, investments, this is fun. You don't hardly have to have any kind of an investment. If you've got a computer and it has some sort of a word processor on it, you can get as fancy as you want. And there's all kinds of programs, software programs that you can buy, but you don't have to buy any of them to get started. You can get started writing with just your computer. You can even do it on your phone on Google Docs. I mean, you can get started writing with very, very small investment. And again, I think you have to ask yourself your why. You know, why are you doing the freelance? Or is the freelance to try to point folks back to your business? Or are you doing it for a fee as a job? You know, do you want to get paid to be a freelance writer? Are you writing because you just want to be creative? Like I've got a whole blogging group and some of the girls that are blogging, they don't care if they ever monetize their blog. This is just a way for them to be creative and to write because they love to write. And they're creating a legacy for themselves because this blog that they're creating has their name on it and their family members are going to have that forever. If again, I don't know how many of you took Sandy's class about protecting your digital assets, but as long as they protect their digital assets with that blog platform, it will last for generations. So there's all kinds of reasons why. And so you do have to ask yourself, you know, what is your why? But if you want to start as a freelance writer, here is the 10-step guide. So number one is research. You have to ask yourself, you know, what do you want to write? What kind of clients do you want to work for? Or do you want to write for yourself? You know, again, to point back to your own products and services? How much money do you want to charge? Or are you actually making money on your business and the writing, like your blogging or your freelance work, whatever it is that you're writing, is just to point back to you so that it gives you some connections and some clout. So you have to decide. There's, you know, some of those questions, but then you have to be clear about your strengths and weaknesses. So one mistake that people make when starting out freelancing is to think they have to start from scratch, and you really don't. You can draw from all of your past experiences, so you do not have to start from scratch, but you have to understand what your strengths and weaknesses are. If outlining your story form, because a lot of freelance writing follows a story format, it has to have that beginning, that middle, and end. It has to, you know, spark your interest and what problem are you solving and then how are you solving it, or whatever format you're writing in. If that's one of your weaknesses, then like Sherry, maybe you need to go to something like a ChatGPT or a PLR, a program like that, and get a template, and then you can change it and make it your own. So it's up to you, but be clear about what your strengths and weaknesses are. Now, just know, and we're talking about ChatGPT, just know that when you get into the realm of writers, it's just like publishing. In publishing, you've got the traditional publishers on one end, you have all of the self-publishers on the other end, and you've got a million and one hybrids in the middle. And it's the same way with whether you're going to use any sort of prompts or chat or artificial intelligence in your writing. You have the writers that say you are not a writer at all if you're using any of those things. And then you have the group on the total other end that says, what's wrong, you know, with getting some help and then making it your own, and a million and one opinions in the middle. So just know that if you're going to be using artificial intelligence, you could get some pretty hefty pushback. There is a whole community that is totally against it. And so, but then again, you get into these big debates and conversations, and I've seen them in several of my writers' work groups, that you get into the whole thing like, well, what happens if you're just using Grammarly? That's nothing more than an artificial intelligence to tell you where you've made some grammar mistakes. And so then you have the folks that go, well, that one's okay, but ChatGPT is not. So, you know, we agree with part of it, but not. So again, just know that you could and probably will get some pushback across that particular topic. So just know that. And so then you have to ask yourself, what topics are you passionate about? And again, it goes back to, why are you writing? If you're writing for someone else, then it doesn't really matter what topics you're passionate about, because you're writing, if it's a company, like my girlfriend I was telling you about, where she gets hired to write their newsletter or to write their blog post, she's writing on behalf of them. So she's writing what their topics are. She's not writing about her own topics. But if you're writing to get known or to point back to your business or whatever it is that you're pointing back to with your writing, then it does make a difference on what you're going to write about. And you have to ask yourself up front, you know, how, like, especially if you're going to create a blog and then try to publish that. You could be a guest blogger on blogs across the country. And I love having a guest blogger, and I love being a guest blogger, because I get to put my spin on someone else's topic. But you still have to know, where does your experience come in? Where is your expertise? What do you enjoy? There are certain topics that I wouldn't enjoy writing about, even if somebody wanted me to write about them. I'm not too much of a sci-fi reader, and so therefore I wouldn't have a clue how to write sci-fi, because I'm not a sci-fi reader. That probably would not be a topic that I would enjoy, because it would feel more like work to me. And so I have to ask myself, what do I personally like to read? And so that's probably what I'm going to enjoy writing about. And so how could I easily write a blog off the cuff today, you know? And then if I did decide to start writing, how would I earn money doing it? And again, you can put yourself out there where you're writing for someone else as a freelance writer, or writing for yourself. Got to go back to that why again. So you have to think about your career and how that's going to work out for you. So what are your professional skills? You know, like Sandy as an English teacher, I'm sure she is way ahead of where my writing would start, because I have to go in and fix a lot of that stuff that just comes natural for her. It does not for me. And so again, your professional skill is going to make a difference on where you enter this particular, you know, group of folks as being a freelance writer. And then you have to find your writing niche. Now, this gal that I was talking about, she has picked up just two companies. She does newsletters and blog posts, and that is, she loves it. And that's where she likes to be. That's her niche, is just newsletters and blog posts. She doesn't want to write manuals. She doesn't want to write, you know, HR material. She just wants to write newsletters and blog posts so she can put her own little personal spin in there and still, you know, point back to the company that she's writing for. So again, you have to find, you know, what's comfortable for you. And then you have to put together a starter portfolio, especially if you're going to put yourself out on an organization like Fiverr. Folks want to see, well, what have you written in the past? And so you have to put together a little starter portfolio so that folks can see. And again, one of the answers is to getting out there is to do free guest posts, which again, I love to do because I get to put my own little spin on their topic, which is kind of fun. And, but then how do you share your work online? So trust us when we tell you that you want to have an online presence as a freelance writer. If you want to put yourself out there as a freelance writer, you have to call yourself a freelance writer somewhere. And one of the best ways to do that is to, when you publish something, is to put that in your little bio byline at the bottom of what you write, that Sherry Daughter is a freelance writer from Pennsylvania and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so put that out there and folks will see that. And then if again, I like to say your writing is, at the end of the day, it's how you make people feel. And if people like how you made them feel when they read what you have written, they will remember you. They will remember your name. Okay. And then you can start your own blog. Now, I love blogging. My main reason I love blogging is because if it's your blog, you get to write whatever you want to write. You don't have any guardrails on your writing. If it's your blog, it's yours. And you can talk about your business. You can talk about your past, you can talk about your future, you can talk about your kids, you can talk about your dog, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about because it's yours. Again, in this particular theme, if you're going to put yourself out there as a freelance writer, you can blog about your freelance writing career. You can talk about how you got started and what it is that you offer. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when you tap into those Facebook groups, the Facebook group does not want you to advertise anything because, of course, it's their group. And I get that. They want to advertise their products and services, which is probably why they have a group to begin with. And they're trying to build an audience. So they don't want you sneaking in there and advertising inside their audience. But if you blog, and here's why I love blogging. If you blog about their topic on their group, people will recognize you and they'll click through to check you out. So it's a perfect way to point back to your products and services without violating those group rules. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's just a nice little sneak attack. And so that's why I love having a blog. I think everybody that has a business should have a blog, which is why my girlfriend is blogging for these companies. They knew they needed a blog, but they didn't have time to write one. So now they're actually paying her to write a blog. And so now she can blog their product knowledge across these groups and it's acceptable because she's not advertising. She's just blogging her opinion. Now keep your social media channels up to date. This is one of my pet peeves. I don't know how many times I've read something that someone I can tell feels very passionate about. And here's a perfect example. I'm always interviewing someone that owns an Airbnb or a bed and breakfast or a short-term rental because I have that channel. And I am in a lot of these short-term rental groups. So now here I am in a short-term rental group, and this person presents a heartfelt solution to somebody's problem. And I'm thinking, oh, that person would be great to have on my podcast. And when I click onto their social media profile, they have no way to contact them. There's no email, there's no phone number, there's no website, there's no way to contact them other than through Messenger, which they may or may not monitor. And so keep your social media channels up to date, because if you're taking the time at all to be on social media and somebody says, oh my gosh, that Ruth would be the perfect person to have on my podcast, make sure that when they click through that they can find a way to contact you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just one of my little pet peeves there. Mm-hmm. Now go and find your first clients. There are many ways to find your first clients. You can use content platforms. Here's one. It's called Contently and Skyward. And I don't know if you've checked those out, but they're kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And Fiverr comes into there too. Then you can cold pitch for all you're worth. Another way to find your first clients is one of the hardest things about freelance writing is to put yourself out there to various publishers and websites for copywriting jobs. So just cold pitch it, you know, yes, pick me and see if they ask, you know, for some examples of your work. But your pitch should definitely be brief and include. This is kind of like, you know, looking for that publisher. When you've got the book, you're looking for someone that wants you to write for them. So how are you aware of them? Who are you? How can you help them? And I have to ask my girlfriend, I don't know if she actually pitched to get these jobs or if it was somebody that knew that she just had a passion for writing and asked, would you be interested? I'll have to ask her that question. But then you can pitch a complete story. So pitching yourself to magazines with a fully researched and written story is another way to land jobs as a freelance writer. Now, I did this in Ohio. We have an electric company, South Central Power, that actually puts out a magazine, believe it or not. And it's always about local things. And so inside the front page or two of the front cover is the little paragraph that says to submit your story, blah, 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 with a place to submit it. Has to be double spaced, 250 words. I mean, it's the whole little thing, just a little paragraph. And so I just started doing that. And every month they would say, next month, our topic is, like for October, our topic is Halloween. And so I just started doing the whole 250 word article. And so just pitch a complete story. I just started submitting just what the magazine said. And after a while, you know, I get one or two published. And then of course there's that little byline, you know, Kathy Benner, freelance writer. And so now folks, because a lot of companies are looking at that magazine. And so now folks are like, oh, we need some stuff written. And they've seen my stuff. So, oh, let's contact Kathy. So make sure they can find you. Make sure if they just go to the internet and put in Kathy Benner that something comes up, even if it's a LinkedIn. So for some folks that have never actually put themselves out there, a LinkedIn profile is one of the easiest, fastest ways to come up on the internet when somebody just puts your name in there. So, but you can start by pitching a complete story. Now you can find clients among your friends and acquaintances. And I'm thinking this is how my girlfriend got her writing gigs, is it was folks that she knew that was needed a newsletter. And that I'm pretty sure that's how she got started. But then keep working on yourself. Become a better writer. Now, Sherry, I don't know about you, but if I use chat and I use like PLR, and I see what I wrote, and then I kind of see how maybe it came out after I said, can you make this better? I find that I am now becoming a better writer. Are you finding that you're changing your writing style a little bit? Yes, yes. So keep working on yourself and invest in yourself. Attend writing workshops. Connect with Sandy. Go, 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 go. Go to a writer's workshop. I love that. And then network your way up. Now, again, my girlfriend mentioned to me that she loves writing newsletters and blog posts. Well, guess what? If I ever get into a pickle, I'm going to call her, you know, yep. because now I know she does that. So mm-hmm. she just mentioned it. She just in casual conversation mentioned it. Now you can team up with other freelancers. Again, I love the Fiverr. That's a great way to team up with other freelancers, because when somebody really wants some writing done and they go to Fiverr, they're looking to hire somebody. They're showing up with money in their pocket, ready to hire someone. And you're simply going to be available with the rest of the freelancers there on that site. And then find a co-working space to get the job done. Now, I did this with one of my gals. She's trying to write her memoir. And she said, oh, I'm at home. And she said, and the phone rings, and then the kids show up, and then the dog runs in and out, and then the husband wants something. And she said, next thing I know, 4 or 5 days have gone by and I didn't write anything. And I said, well, do you ever leave the house and go on appointments? And she goes, yeah. And I said, do the kids and the dogs and the husband follow you when you do that? She goes, no. And I said, well, then make yourself an appointment at the coffee shop or at a co-work space. I said, and then load up your laptop and say, I have an appointment this morning at 10 o'clock. I'll see you guys at 1. And go. I said, you will be amazed at how much writing you get done when you can set aside an appointment time for yourself to do it. Mm-hmm. And then keep in touch with former colleagues. Again, they could be some of your first clients. And then put yourself out there on the social media, let folks know that you're open for business. And then finally set your price and your financial goals. You know, how much writing do you want to do? And again, it's totally up to you. You know, my girlfriend said she's happy with just a couple of clients because she's doing the massage business. Matter of fact, she's moving into a big brand new space. She's hiring more people. She's really growing into this huge massage type business. And she just loves to write. So she said a couple clients is all I want. She goes, I don't want a full-time gig. So you can set whatever goals you want there. And then find the right rate. And that's a little tough. You have to set a minimum price for yourself below which you will not write a single word. And if possible, charge by the project and not by the hour or by the word. But by the word is a great tool so that you kind of know, where you've set your value. But then you could actually get paid by the project. And because oftentimes that's what the buyer wants to know is, what is it going to cost me for you to do this newsletter? You know, if you say, well, I charge so much per word, they're like, well, how many words are you going to write? They don't know. So they want to kind of know, so I can budget this project. And then set your minimum rate and then always keep going. Building a career takes some time, but if you wanted a career as a freelance writer, you could do that. And again, it says what freelance writers need to consider legally. And here is just some legal aspirations about calculating your taxes. Make sure that, you know, if you get paid, you've got to pay income taxes because that's income. And what type of a contract should you put together? And it's going to have in here your payment obligations, your scope of service, who has rights to the finished product. These are all the things that we don't think about when we start writing, because I just want to write. I love to write. And again, I don't know that my girlfriend has all of this in place. I know she loves to write, but I'm not sure she has all of the behind the scenes stuff. And then be aware of trade descriptions and insurance as a freelancer. Yes, there is insurance out there. And employment contract. It depends if you want to be full-time right away, or work part-time, or sometimes you can write for the company that you're already working for and they can ask you to write. Again, that's real important to know who owns the material when you're doing that. And then there's a section here for freelance writer questions and answers. And like, can you make a living? How do I know my writing is good enough? Anyway. So there's all kinds of things to consider as a freelance writer. So talk to me a little bit. Have you written anything? Now, Sandy, I'm sure you have as a professional writer. And I've written a few things as a freelancer. Sherry, have you written anything as a freelance writer?
I am working on that a little bit.
Okay.
I am a contributor to Brains Magazine, and I am working on my first article.
Okay. And well, so
nice.
Yeah. So have you decided your why at the beginning? And so when you write, is your purpose to become, and here's the important question, is your purpose to become a paid freelance writer, or is it your purpose to simply point folks back to your business that you're creating around your book?
Point back to business.
Okay. So that's what you would have in mind every time you write an article, is that you would definitely want to highlight what it is that you do, why you do it, and how folks can connect with you if they want more information about those products and services. Yes. And that's usually the kind of writing that I've done. I've not really put myself out there as a paid freelance writer because I'm always pointing folks back to my products and services. And so when I first was writing for Chris Borja's magazine, he says, we're just going to talk about networking in the community. And so it gave me the privilege to write about networking, but how did networking interconnect with my freestyle living and how to have a passive income business? And so I could slant my whole article to point back to what it was that I'm doing. And then at the end in my bio, then I could introduce myself, you know, that Kathy Benner is a freelance writer, and she also operates the Kathy Benner International Academy that teaches folks how to have freestyle living through passive income. And so what it did is it allowed folks to kind of get a kind of like blogging. They got to know me a little bit better just through my writing. And I did pick up several folks that were interested in attending some of our free meetups just from reading that article on networking. So anyway, that's how I'm using it as well. Now, Sandy, you actually are a professional writer. So you actually, do you have all of this in place, like the contract and the price points? And do you have all of that?
A little bit here and there. And when I started, I knew I was going to probably leave the classroom in about 10 years. And I wanted my resume to look more like, well, what kind of professional writing did you do besides your master's thesis or, you know, some curriculum thing? So that's when, and you're right about community, that's when I have a friend who is a freelance writer, and she was swamped by this one company that did biographies, reference books that you would find in school libraries mostly. And she goes, I'm completely swamped, but I'd like to recommend you to my editor. Would that be all right? And I was like, well, sure. And because I've taught research paper forever, a biography is an awful lot of research. So that's how I got, that's how my resume started to look more like a professional writer. But I do know a lot of folks who are full-time freelancers because they really want that, their own book, mostly novels, but not necessarily so, but mostly their novels. They want to be a novelist, but wait around that you can make enough money to subsist by yourself in that way is quite a weight, or if it comes at all. So freelancing is the way to keep up, like you said, play it back. I'm a professional writer. What can I do to keep that in mind rather than saying, well, I also work at McDonald's, which isn't a bad thing to do, especially I'm sure there's some good stories there, but you do want to keep that freelance, you know. And so that's where I started writing biographies, because I was helping somebody else who got me into the business. And I know someone else who worked for a company, I don't know the name of it, but you know, when you have those, and I've run into this, and this is something I'm looking into seriously. I have writers who are wanting to write their memoir, and they're getting pretty high up there in years, and I don't know if they're going to make it. So my friend, who's in between his, he has some kind of a science fiction mystery writer. Now there's a combination mystery series out there. So in between books, when his was at the editor's, he worked for a company in which he went out and he interviewed these older folks who've always wanted to have their memoir out there. but they just couldn't get it all together. And so he would interview them and kind of ghostwriting. Ghostwriting is very popular. So you don't mind not having the notoriety, but having the paycheck, there you go there. So he would write their memoir for them and send it to the company. I've had folks, remember the something, something for dummies, whatever, like Scrivener for Dummies, for Dummies. I know friends who write for that group and they write.
Okay.
And those are the ones who really love to outline and really like the thought.
Break it down. So
yes. Yeah. So it's out there because, you know, in between the big novel, the great American novel or memoir that you are writing for yourself, if you want to keep your, it, and community is so important. Somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody.
Absolutely.
And getting your name out there.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right on all those accounts.
And I met some, and the whole networking piece, which I talked about, I met some great folks at the Writer's Workshop over in Yellow Springs. And I still have my little note tablet, you know, with their names on it and their contact information. And I made a little note once I met them on what their niche was, what they were writing about,
nice,
or what they like to write about. And so that way, if I came across, because I love to connect folks. So if I came across somebody else that said, would you know anybody that's, I could say, yeah, actually I do. And so it's a great way to continue that networking is to make notes like that. So I like to do that when I'm in those types of environments, like the Writer's Workshop. So I love that. Yeah. Sherry, so have your magazine article already done, or you're in the process of writing for the magazine?
It's here.
Okay.
There's been
okay.
none of this done.
Okay.
I just like had the idea of what to write about.
Okay.
So I've been looking through the magazine, trying to find out the best way to take what I do and what they're doing and blend it together. So I had an idea actually this morning about what to write. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
But I got another project I've got to take care of first, you know?
Yeah. Because when you're submitting, you have to follow the prompts. I mean, they will tell you exactly what they're looking for, how many words, how it's spaced, what, you know, they'll tell you the exact template that they want you to present your writing in, and believe them when they tell you, because again, they already have their magazine templates and they want to make life easy as all of this comes in so that they can just scoot you over in and adjust it a little bit. They don't want to pay somebody to retype your whole article to make it fit their template. So they've already told you what fits their template. So make sure you do what they say and submit it the way they say to submit it and all of that good stuff, which just, it's, that seems like that's common sense. But not necessarily. For those of you that are on this call, you know that I want to also do a magazine. And so everything came at me in all different ways and all different fonts and all, and I had it, you know, right in the checklist. And so you would think that that's common sense, but it isn't. So I'm here to remind you, do whatever the article or the magazine or the publication, let's say that, whatever publication you're submitting to, do it their way. And because they'll tell you how they want it. And that makes it easier for you to get accepted, actually, because that's one of their criteria is, did the person follow directions and do it the way I asked? And because if you're going to be a contributor to their magazine on a regular basis, there has to be a relationship there. And you have to make yourself easy to work with.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because if you make it hard for them to work with you after a couple of tries, they'll say it's too hard to work with this person.
Right. And there are plenty of other folks who want to do that job. But if I could add, I have another friend who loved to travel and she wanted to get into travel writing. Mm-hmm. So what she did is she read everything out there on travel. What's going on? Who's writing about what? And what hasn't she seen a lot of or any of? And that's how she pitched her stories. I think her angle, she had a handicapped person in her family that she traveled with. So her angle on a couple stories, articles on travel, was looking at it from an accessibility point of view. So if you love what you, if you like making bread and you want to write about that, there are magazines. Everybody's got a blog. You're right, Kathy. Everybody has a blog. Well, not everybody, but there's a lot of blogs out there on every subject. Pick something. If you like bowling, something's out there. If you collect trains, they would love to hear from you. A different voice, a different angle. Mm-hmm. Use that creativity and say, yeah, I'd like to send them something. So that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes we have what we do for a living and we compartmentalize a little bit, and then what we do for fun. And, and I hadn't done this yet, but Mark and I, we met ballroom dancing. There is quite a ballroom dance community across the country. Mm-hmm. Columbus, Ohio is really big with the ballroom dance community. We're discovering there is a somewhat of a ballroom dance community here in the Sarasota area in Florida. And so I could very easily get into that niche, because there's a lot of magazines that are just all about ballroom dancing. And again, you get into that whole 55 and over and traveling and where to find folks that love the same interests. And so there's so many opportunities to submit a piece if your goal, if your why in writing is for folks to get to know, like, and trust you. It's unlimited. Possibilities and opportunities out there.
Yes.
So I love that. So Sherry, tell us a little bit about this magazine. What is their main focus? The one that you're supposed to write this article for that's still in your mind. what is business, their main focus?
Yeah. The neurology of business, basically.
The neurology of business. Okay.
So, like
share with our listeners what that means.
Yeah. So like psychology and what drives somebody to and motivates them to do something. Executive coaching, people are on there. It's really not a podcast or a blog post for teachers, but it is more that business world, which is where I want to do some more leading of my business. So the blog post thing I thought about was an offshoot of what I wrote for you. And that is, so you're working from home and you got these kids that are bugging you all the time. How about some leafy activities to help you out?
Okay. And so you're going to appeal to that readership with your expertise and your
So your looking at it from a mom working from home.
Okay.
How can they do activities for kids?
You know what? I can see a lot of folks saying, "Oh, I'm reading that one. I'm reading that article." Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And again, I think what I've noticed in the conversation just now is that Sherry put herself in the shoes of her potential readers. Who picks up and reads this magazine? Who are they? What does their life look like? And for those of you that have built a business or put together a business, you know, we call that your avatar. Your client avatar. What do they look like? And once Sherry knew what that client avatar looked like, then she can write to that person. And that's what they tell you when you're writing a blog post or you're writing an article, and I'll mention this, Sherry, especially since you don't have yours on paper yet, you want to write to that person, not to that larger group of people. Mm. You want to write to a person when you're writing.
So essentially, I want to write to you when you were working at home, when Jen was little. And she was annoying you because she wanted your attention and you had to get work done before you left to go back to the office. Yep. And what What are some activities that you guys can do? Or what can you do on Saturday morning to occupy them instead of them watching the boob doob?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, I know for Jennifer, and again, girls and boys are different. My Jennifer was quite the little entertainer. And so if I had her go back to her room and dress up and come up with a song and come up with a dance routine, and then she'd have to go practice it. And then she was definitely an attention deficit child on top of everything, which meant she was all over the map. So I had to give her exact milestones to accomplish. And so I would tell her, but it couldn't be overwhelming. I'd actually have to write it down. By the time she was 10, I have to put it in a bullet point list so she could follow the list. And it was like, find the costume, find the song, practice the song, fix your hair and makeup. And then this would be like at 8 a.m. Then at 10 a.m., you get to come out and perform it for me. So she would have, she would have curtain call at 10. Yeah. And oh my goodness, talk about creativity. She would be back there singing and jumping and dressing and hair. And I mean, her room was just, it looked like backstage when you go back there. And at 10 o'clock, she'd have her performance perfected.
Wow. And you knew you had that amount of time.
I had 2 hours. On it. I knew yeah. I had 2 hours before curtain call.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. But I like the idea, Sherry, as well. The idea, like you said, readership. Your audience is a very, very key component to whom you're writing to and how you design your creation in words.
Yeah. So that brings me to the thought of doing articles for teachers directly. I have found a lot of places online where teachers are, but to say that I found the right magazine to contribute to, that I don't know that I have. But I know, like, there's Attitude Magazine, and that's all about ADHD. There's LD Magazine, LD Online and stuff like that, but I haven't ever thought about submitting to them before.
And your information would be right on point. Absolutely. And again, once you submit on a regular basis, and again, you're submitting the way they want you to submit, you're making yourself very easy to work with so that they keep coming back to you, because the easier you make it for them to use your material, the more often they'll use your material. And then at that point, you start to get known within that community. And then folks get to know, like, and trust you. And then when they do see your information, they're like, oh, I am so clicking on this because I love everything that girl has to say. So I'm definitely going to check it out. And that's the whole point. If you're using your writing to point back to your products and services, if that is your why you're doing the writing, that's why I do my writing. And that's why Sherry does her writing. And I think that's why Ruth does her writing, is we're pointing back to our bigger products.
Yeah, I've been this weekend being out in Columbus. I was really like problem solving in my head. What avenue do I want the funnel to look like? And one of the things that I really am not doing very well at with the writing is creating a blog post that attaches to my podcast episodes, and I want to get better at that. So I may actually spend some time really looking at that, because I have two other podcasts that I have in my head that I want to start.
Can I make a suggestion?
You can go ahead.
Repurpose, repurpose, repurpose.
No. Oh yeah, I know. That's why I'm trying to figure out the best way. Well, and some of the technology on the back end to make it easy to repurpose.
Okay, well, hang in there with me. I'm going to oversimplify it. So you do a podcast, which is your video audio recording. And then you have your information about that recording, which you could write it as a blog post. Then take that exact same recording and that exact same posting and turn it around and put it over on your blog platform. Now you've got your blog, but you're going to follow it up down here at the bottom with your video audio. And it's the same material. You didn't have to do two different entries. It's the exact same material. You're just publishing one with the audio on top and then the written word, and the other one you're going to publish with the written word as your blog post. And then you can put the link to the audio right in the blog.
Yeah, I get all that. That's kind of what we're looking at. What is the order I really want to put things in, and what are some of the extras that go on the page? So Michael has the podcast all on one page, and I'm like, I'm at the point now where you need to divide these things up into separate pages. And so we're looking at the layout right now and what the best way is. So thank you for that idea of putting the article first and the connections to the post underneath. I was, while you've been talking on your podcast site, looking at your layout and some of the same things about yours that is there. And what are some unique things about where my is hosted, but yeah, trying to make it simple and then trying to write articles for other places that refer back to the podcast and stuff. So I'm trying to align that. I don't know if I told you this, but you may appreciate the title of this one. I'm actually going to an event the end of November, and they are going to teach me how to really iron down every step of my freedom funnel, which is like step one, what's the email series that you want to do? What are all the components of it? And they actually have a list of 16 components that you need to have the freedom funnel to be accurate and flowing very well and easily. So that's one of the things I'm headed to this year is how to create your own freedom funnel.
I get it. Now, for those that are listening, Michael is her son, and he is kind of her IT guy. He does her IT work behind the scenes. And that's when she referred to Michael. That's what she was talking about. And
I did do that, didn't I?
No, that's fine. And as far as a funnel in our Build a Better Business, we talk about creating your sales funnel. And it's all the way from when you first, your client first touches down with your material and how you guide them down your funnel so that they get to see everything you have to offer without feeling overwhelmed. And that's a tough balancing act sometimes. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I will respond to something that I've seen, like, oh, I'm kind of interested in that. Let me click through and respond to that. And all of a sudden I'm just washed over with emails to where before I even really get to discover what they really truly have to offer, I'm unsubscribing because it's way too much. In my world, because again, I'm wanting to travel. I'm wanting to spend time with family. I'm not in front of my computer answering 300 emails every day. So I don't want to be in front of my computer answering 300 emails every day. So I think that balancing act is a hard one. So I'm interested to hear how you feel about the freedom funnel.
And she's one that posts several times a day in email form. And I'm like, that's not going to be me. I know that. But the part of the reason I like to come to this is because you have me thinking about the writing part of it and some of the strategic ways to implement the message. And so, Sandy, thank you for some of the things that you say, because it gets me thinking. Kathy, you always get me thinking, and you know that.
You've all have brought this up earlier. When I am looking looking for featured guests for my writer's workshop, I am on their webpage or wherever they are, the, you know, where I need to be to find out more about them. And I even have it in the contract that they sign with me that I am allowed to copy and paste liberally if I want to their information as I am advertising for that workshop with them. And when I see a section of a webpage that says media kit, I am elated. And even if you think, well, I haven't really written that much, look on somebody's website who has one, or how to create a media kit. It's kind of a biography, a biographical kind of, you're providing this, the little logo, the little taglines, all those things about yourself that somebody who wants to know more about you or who can easily promote you, like, hey, our guest coming is, photos as well, all that sort of stuff. I get tickled.
I do a lot of professional development. I do a lot of professional development things. Would you include like a real detailed CV?
Yeah, I would, kind of near the end, but some have it chronological, what they've done, but they have, that's kind of like their personal reference page. It depends on whom you're going for. If it's more a pretty strict educational / scientific sort of place, keep it more sign that looking. But if it's kind of casual, that you want to get together with parents or you want to get together with the teachers, but not in the textbooky type, then keep it a little light.
Actually have several media kits on my website that reference, that go to different locations. Oh, that is a brilliant idea.
When you have a different audience, like you do, Sherry, I think that's important because, and for me, it's important for me because I have different lanes. And sometimes somebody just wants me to talk about real estate. They don't want me to talk about writing. They want me to talk about real estate. So they want a whole media kit that talks about my real estate.
Sure. But you know, we all look and see what somebody else is doing. So I look and see who's, you know, how different people's media kits are. I just like the term media kit because it gives me just what I'm looking for. Sometimes if I see biography, that's where I'll go. But it takes me a while to figure out what I could use. And because I work with media to promote my workshop via those featured guests, that like, oh, okay, I don't have to think too much. I can just copy and paste and that sort of thing. And I did have one writer come back and goes, could you change some of that information? I've improved it or I've changed it now, which probably meant, oh, someone's really looking at that page and they're utilizing
it. I better update it.
Exactly. So always think about that too. Always update. That helps. It bothers me a tad when I go and see a date that says, you know, 2011 was the last time they did something. And I think, okay, you know, I would start, if you are designing it, start with the most recent and then work your way in the past, just because people want to know what you're up to now, even though there might be a gold nugget somewhere 5 years ago or 4 years ago, start with them today. So
I love
You have an IT guy. That's nice.
I know. We tease her about that all the time. We're always wanting Michael. So, all right. What is your biggest aha moment? Mine is I probably need to go back and make sure that all my stuff is updated. I have it on my calendar to do quarterly, no less. As I go back every quarter and I look at my author's page on Amazon, I look at my media kit, I look at my website, I check my links to make sure all my links are working, because sometimes the link works just fine and for some reason it drops somewhere along the line. Some platform somewhere updates and it disconnects your link. And you have to go back and reconnect the link. So I double check links and I just have it on my calendar to do quarterly. So what is some aha moments? Any aha moment from you, Sandy?
You know, I one of my biggest flaws in what I do is I'm self-deprecating. So if someone says, "Hey, I like your hair," I go, "Yeah, well, you know, I do this negativity stuff, and you should never do that when you're a writer. You should never you take all the compliments, "Hey, thank you very much." And I will bury some of the things that I think, "Oh, who's interested in the fact that I wrote a biography on George W. Bush in 1999 or 2000 or whenever he was inaugurated?" I think, you know, I tend to hide that, and I think, no, you know, I gotta put that on the in
Yep.
front of the photo album sometimes, because somebody might say, "Oh my gosh," you know, but for whatever reason, that's what they want to hear from me. So don't be shy, as my mom would say, who was the shyest person I know, but she knew.
She didn't want you to be that way. That's why
Yeah,
she kept it simple.
exactly. And I
Sherry,
don't
have
think I have.
any aha moments from you, Sherry?
Different media kits.
Okay. Yeah,
You
the
know,
light came on. Yeah.
creating a page that differentiates the media kits based on the person that I'm talking to. And I think the other thing was I can write for these other platforms. I
Cool.
have the capability. I don't have to shy away. So I Sandy, I've been really looking at my message, and one of the things that I'm saying now is I'm a recovering dysgraphic. So even
Okay.
saying recovering dysgraphic, even if there's something little that might be wrong inside there, when they read that, they'll go, oh, especially if they know what dysgraphia is, which is basically what I'll be writing about a lot of times.
No, I it's great. It's great. And we've often said, you know, that action comes first and clarity comes second. So I think as we start writing, we get more clear how we want to show up in the world.
Yes. Just like your media kits, it might be too much to have all different types, but that's a great place to start. And then you think, you know, I could just narrow this a little more, clarify. You don't want to confuse anybody, but it's like that first draft. Do it. Definitely do it. I think you'll even feel better about yourself and who you are. Not that I even know you have a problem with that, but that you would probably should be pretty impressed with yourself at the end. I am, and I don't even know what dysgraphic means. I think I vaguely do.
So
That was cool.
I guess putting one of the things at the top of the page would be contributed to a textbook would be a really good thing to have at the top of the page, right?
Absolutely. Talk
Oh, is
about
that?
credibility.
Yes. It says you're organized, that you do follow directions, that you're interesting, that a textbook wants you because you could do all that and speak to a variety of readers, known and unknown. Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I love it. All right,
That and
lady.
then I also speak for or write for KathyBinner.com, who I'm
There you go.
talking to
Yeah.
people
And
just out
everybody
there in the
knows
world.
her. And you're a co-host to Build a Better Business.
And I'm a co-host, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm a podcast host. And
Yeah,
that
all
really
that.
was the thing that I that was what I my drove my conversations at the conference was I'm the host of the Writing Glitch podcast. I'm looking for sponsors and I'm looking for guests. Can we talk after the conference? How
Yeah.
do I contact you?
Yep,
I love it.
that's
yeah, that puts people at ease. They'd like to do it. You've given them so much information from a comfortable, confident point of view that they feel they'll be good in good hands. And that's important too when you talk
And
podcasts.
then all you have to say is, and to meet me personally, I'll be at my book table signing books in the back of the room.
Yes. Yeah, they'll remember, they'll see you somewhere and they
So and that so that was not really the books at the back of the room. That was I have a poster on Saturday. And I
So
was at that session from before 8 a.m. and was supposed to start at 8. Some from before 8 a.m. until like 1 o'clock. And when I finally stopped talking, like all of a sudden there was like nobody around except for the people that had posters. I quick ran around to all the posters, took snapshots of those, and then took mine down because there was nobody left. So I spoke for 4 and a half hours straight.
You used that conference to the fullest.
I tried. I really did try. Created a new QR, a new download that I stuck on my website for teachers. And my son said that 12 people put their email in, but one person downloaded. I'm like, well, okay. So 1/12 of those people, but
25%.
A whole lot to follow up on. And that's where the mm-hmm. program mm-hmm. falls. So,
yeah.
Well, I just remember when Sherry was just an author. Yeah.
Just
an author. Now look at her now.
And I still like to come by your house and give you hugs, right?
I tell you. You know what? It does my heart good to see, you know, kind of where you started and where you are today. I'm just so darn proud of everything you've done, and you are just not letting the grass grow at all. You're moving. You just keep moving, and you just keep getting better, and your website keeps getting better, and your products keep getting better, and you're just making it better and better and better every day that goes by. And I'm always the first one to say, because Sandy's is a writer. She knows what it takes. I've created, you know, my platform. Mm-hmm. I write. I know what it takes. Your hard work does not go unnoticed, Sherry.
Well, thank you. I made a commitment to make this my job mm-hmm. several years ago, and I'm determined that 2024 is going to be so different than any other year that I've ever seen, and that I can't keep up.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. Ladies, I have another call at 2:00, so I'm going to jump off. But thank you so much for being on today. This has been a lot of fun. I hope I've inspired you. And yep. I know Sandy is already a writer, but I hope I've inspired Sandy as well. Hope I've inspired you to just get out there. Get your name out there.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Sandy, for your inspiration.
Sure. I look forward to seeing your site.
Thank you. It's just my name. Look up my name.
Yep, just sherrydaughter.com.
Good.
Yep. I will put all of our information in in the paragraph form under the recording today, so folks can get in touch with you if they come. Because we've got some mastermind members that watch the replay, and when they watch the replay, if they go, oh, I want to get in touch, I'll put there so they can get in touch.
Okay, sounds good.
So thank you, ladies. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Take care. Have a great month.